Data and analytics can be so confusing. You know you need it, but you aren't sure what data to get besides downloads and what to do with it to help grow your show. So I interview Potter co-founder Christian Sorensen to share what insights drive success, how to understand your audience better, what trends to track, reviews, and rankings. But before we help you demystify podcast analytics, I do want to share another podcast on podcasting called the Beyond the Microphone. Here's the trailer.
Did you get into podcasting with a story to tell? Are you driven by passion and purpose? Has your podcasting journey evolved over time? Have you made not only discoveries about growing your podcasts, but also discoveries about yourself? I'm Adam Baru, the host of Beyond the Microphone, a podcast about podcasters and the stories behind their shows, how they went from concept to reality, and the discoveries made along the way. Join me each Tuesday as I interview podcasters about their journey and how the podcasting experience has changed their lives.
Hey guys, the one way you want to grow your show is by understanding the data and the results that you're getting so you can optimize, leverage, and do more of the good things and stop doing the bad things. And so when I looked at Potter and I was in touch with Christian Sorensen here, the founder and CEO of Potter, I was super intrigued with how even the data that you could get. I didn't even know it was possible, Christian. So I'm glad to have you on the show.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I find that data is confusing for everyone in general, no matter what it is. But I find that podcasters, they're just so fixated on downloads and like maybe rankings and like that is it. And they don't really understand all the nuances involved. So why don't, to start off, I guess, is what data can we get from our podcast?
The exactly what you just said is exactly what we also thought, and which is what we tried to kind of answer. Because when we initially played, me and my co-founders played around with the idea of creating something in the podcasting space, we were like, we didn't come from podcasting. We came from other tech or online related things. But we got interested in the space and decided to look a little bit further into it. And we very quickly got very surprised by how little information is available, how hard it is to get this like independently verified, like third party, how you often have to ask directly and get maybe a screenshot sent through an email, and how the majority, as you said, is downloads. Yeah. And we often don't necessarily agree what a download is. There can be different ways of counting these downloads. Is it more than 60 seconds listened? Is it something else? Sometimes you say download, reach, listen. Exactly what are these? What do we mean when we say them? And so on. And we were very, very surprised by that. And it's mainly probably surprised by how nobody really questioned it. It was just like, that's how it is. Where we thought a little bit, there must be ways of generating a little bit more information. We very quickly learned that there is actually a lot more information that is possible to get, but because of the very unique nature of podcasting being, you know, you host your podcasts with a hosting provider, then distributes to many different streaming services via a feed. So all of these different streaming services hold a little bit of data on your listeners and performance, and your hosting provider holds a little bit, and they don't share the same amount of information. They don't share with each other. The podcaster can get some of it, but they need to log into many different sources. Oh. So often it's just that there is a little bit more, but it's very hard to get. And then if you get it, you know, Spotify and Apple, for example, the two big platforms, they can log in and get a little bit more information, but they don't count the same things and they don't count in the same way. So even if you do collect that, it can be a little bit confusing. What do they mean here? What do they mean there? So on.
Yeah. So I'd say you can't compare apples to apples. It's like, it's almost like you have a little piece of this and a little piece of that, and you try to put it together and figure it out. It's like, my God, You need a degree just to makes sense.
Almost, right? And you need to, like, so many different places, and you need to kind of try and understand what do they mean when they say this and so on, because there is no like uniform way of doing things. So we actually started out wanting to build an advertising marketplace, but we very quickly gave up on this, and because we realized that there was not a lot of information available, so it's hard to build any kind of filtering or sorting and so on. So we focused on this data thing instead, because we thought we cannot be the only ones who the blind here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your question was, what can we get? And I agree, downloads are super important, but downloads as a standalone metric can be a little bit misleading. I think the biggest second one is consumption rate or listen through rate, mm-hmm. which is, you know, how much is being finished of your episodes in percentage. Because to us, at least, that is as important or maybe even slightly more important than downloads, because yes, maybe your download numbers are going up, but the average consumption is going down drastically. Well, then it shows that you're somehow putting the show in front of people who theoretically should be interested, but your content is not engaging, which is maybe more of a red flag than not being able to get it out there in the first place. The way to get this now is you log into your Spotify and your Apple Creator dashboard, and because they will show this information in varying ways. Of course, you will not be able to get this information off those of your listeners that come from any of the other many platforms. Right. But in most cases, a combination of Spotify and Apple will make up anywhere from 40 to maybe 60% of their total listens. So those two combined is a decent proxy for, you know, your awesome audience as a whole. Otherwise, some of the stuff that we also just find that is interesting is to not just look at the downloads as an ultimate number, but look at them as in, you know, in for example, relative to similar episodes, because of course in the beginning you get fewer downloads than you get when you have created thousands of episodes, so just looking at total numbers over time is not so interesting, but looking at the last 10 and then how each episode fares versus them, for example, it's quite interesting. Or simply things like pacing, are some episodes like peaking in the beginning but then fading quickly. We tend to favor those because we look at early downloads. We may not be so good at looking what we call evergreen, which is shows that may be slower to peak but may continue to drive listeners for a long period after. They often get overlooked because they never had that peak, whereas in mm-hmm. reality they may actually be the ones that ends up bringing all time the most listeners yeah. past your show. So you know, the same numbers but just breaking them down in many different ways.
I love how you said that about the, like, how the journey of the episode, basically, like, are they getting the, like, is there that peak at the beginning and then it just drops off? I do love when I see and look at like stats where like there's an episode that like still gets listens, like, and it's been like, you know, a year and a half and you're like, yes. And clearly that content and that topic is resonating. So like that, even right there, you know, why don't I do other episodes that relate to that? And maybe they'll get more downloads.
It's literally exactly this is something that we're really starting to focus a lot on now. We worked out also a way of calculating what we call like an evergreen score. But we tried to give every episode like a score for how much, it's a kind of a complex calculation, but essentially it tells the higher that score, the better this episode performs down the line. As kind of a easy way for a podcaster to identify, you can rank your episodes based on that and you can see which one of them performed best as evergreen. And then you can see, okay, well, there seems to be a trend. Whenever I, you know, as you said, discuss these subjects here, they tend to perform longer down the line. Maybe I should consider covering these more. Or these episodes seems to continuously be interesting. Maybe I should make sure to keep referencing back to them in future episodes because they tend to, you know, like whatever it may be, but so that it's very easy in front of you to see which things are performing best based on various metrics that are essentially still based on downloads in most cases, but just put in perspective or in ways where it's easier to identify trends or identify the whys, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And thinking about the whys, now, those that do peak high and have like a ton of downloads, but they're not, it's just in a short amount of time frame. Are there things that you can do to be like, okay, obviously the interest was there, it just wasn't sustaining. Are there things that I can put into place to make it evergreen?
Yeah. So of course, we never know. Is it a marketing problem or is it a content problem? And one of the slight limitations we have is that we don't look at the content. We don't do anything on the content at all. We just look at all the data around the show. So we can help you say which episodes did certain things, but we cannot tell you so much about why it is.
Yeah.
However, what we are often finding is that, of course, it depends on the nature of the show. If you do a news show or a sports show, you're going to talk about current events, of course. Right. And current events are limited by being current. So they're exciting now, but they will not be exciting soon.
Yeah.
For most other interview based shows, it is more, you know, you can by thinking a little bit about it, you can try to focus or at least put the angle so it's more evergreen, or it's going to be interesting for a longer period of time. We just tend to you know, because we like the fix of the download hits. So we tend to chase a little bit the what is like, this is really popular, I better talk about it. Or sometimes we should stop a little bit and think, yes, this is really popular, but will it also be? Or this other topic that's not as popular, but has a higher potential to be in the future, will that actually end up being more of a long-term? Like we think of a podcast as a pillar of content, not just as an episode per episode per episode. And the only thing you're thinking about is the last and the next episode, but rather as a whole living thing. And we should also like encouraged in planning of these episodes, then thinking, how can I add to the whole in a way that will, you know, will work for a longer period of time, but also bring traffic back to the back catalog, or that back catalog can help bring traffic to newer episodes. So it's a little bit just of a mind shift, mm-hmm. or using, you know, there are tools like Google Trends or other tools like this, where you can literally just plot in a keyword and see, this is really cool right now, but has it been cool before? Is there anything that indicates that this will keep being something that people will be looking for or not? Or does it look like it will be a thing that just goes? So to answer your question, no, I don't. I don't know, because sometimes you're also testing, lucky that maybe you get testing. But the problem with looking just at numbers like this is maybe you have somebody with a huge following on social media that for whatever reason shares one of your episodes, so you see a huge increase in traffic on one episode compared to, or listens compared to others, and you may draw wrongful conclusions based on that information. So it's also like, you know, the bigger the sample, the longer the period of time, the better to weed out these kind of things.
I love that. And so I know with the Potter and the data that you get, one of them that surprised me was the persona card that you have and the data points that you can get to understand the audience personality. Can you explain that? Because I didn't even know you could get that data, honestly.
And you can, and in this also very complicated because, you know, there's privacy concerns to take into consideration, and especially because we are a European startup, so we are under these GDPR privacy compliance rules that we have here, which are very strict.
Yeah,
which meant that we looked for a long time to try and find ways of doing this, and we have ended up finding ways of actually doing this. It's just that everything that we collect goes through a bunch of different processes. So it's anonymized, that we don't store anything that could be considered personal information. And the external services that we use to generate a lot of the information are also European and are therefore also GDPR compliant. This means a lot of the stuff that we do is probabilistic. We don't know for sure because we don't track individual listeners. Right. We use a bunch of different signals and signs to assume or determine that this is the most likely. So this is also why we cannot say, oh, you had one listener who was this demographic, you had one listener that was this demographic. No, we can say the people that listened to this episode tend to fall into these demographics brackets.
Okay.
So it's you know, we divide, we can tell you, for example, rough income level of an audience, but rough, we can tell you rough, maybe savings level. We can tell you if they're likely to have few cars or many cars, if they're likely to have many kids or no kids or one child or things like this. Which is all probabilistic. However, at scale, this becomes very, very accurate, which is where it's very interesting. And the benefit of knowing this kind of information is a little bit twofold. What we find the majority use it for is if they sell ads on their show, it's quite interesting to have this information when talking to advertisers, because not many advertisers are used to being able to get this information from a podcaster. What we more hope that it also can be used for, and that we're trying to build ways of using it for, is for podcasts to understand the audience better, because we feel that can help with content creation if you have a better idea of who is listening. The next one is this, that the personality, the way we do this is that we just take all of the publicly written reviews we can find about a show. Then we use a machine learning algorithm that we have not built it, somebody else has trained it, that is trained on Myers-Briggs Big Five personality types, that reads all of these reviews and tries to assess the personality trait trends amongst the authors of these reviews.
Oh, wow.
So it is not perfect because it's not a one-to-one on every single listener of the show.
Right.
But of everybody who's ever left a review, we have a somewhat good indicator of the personality traits they have. We accumulate them and we show them on the dashboard. So again, it is probabilistic. We're taking what we can get and doing the most with that to get these indicators. What we do find, though, is that they seem to be very accurate, because there are certain shows where you would assume certain personality types or trends would would listen to those kind of shows. And this is typically also what shows up. The persona that you refer to is that, because it's still just graphs. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It is still just graphs and numbers and tables and so on. So it can still be a little bit confusing to look at and try to derive something from it. So with a persona, what we did is that we just did like a cross-section of all the data and said, based on everything we have collected, this is what your most typical listener looks like. So it's like an average of all the data that we collect. This, and then we use an AI tool, the DALL-E from OpenAI, to draw what this persona could look like. So we send a request off to them and say, male of this age from this region with these interests with this whatever, and it sends us back four options, and you can then choose who of those four you want to represent like your persona. So it's a little bit of a fun gimmick, but to try and visualize what your typical listener.
Yeah, that is so neat. But even to get that idea, and that rough kind of, you know, personality profile, that's what I was looking for, it can help you attract that audience more effectively, and then also speak to them, like when you're, you know, doing your intro or you're in your podcast, creating content that appeals, you know, to that listener base. How would you use that data?
Like for the personality type specifically, we actually have a little written description also on the dashboard, where you see the top five highest represented for your show. And then we have a little written description exactly for this purpose, saying people with this personality trait tend to like maybe being involved or slow pace or entertaining stories or whatever it may be, for the reason so that you can tailor a little bit to them. This is maybe particularly helpful in the case of where maybe we ask for, please leave a review or sign up to my Patreon or whatever it may be. If you know how to appeal to them, how to say it in the right tone, that might help a little bit with this.
Yeah.
But again, in most cases, we try to provide the data. We try to enrich it where we can, but we try to also not, well, actually we're changing a little bit to try and also make it more like, here's what you should then do. But we try to not interpret too much, because we still think we're not the expert on your show. You are. The content, all of these things. What we can just do is give you more information that can help you draw better conclusions, if that makes sense.
It totally does. It's like you're helping to guide, saying, here's what you can do. Here's how you can look at the information. You know, here are some suggestions of your approach or what you can change or what you can update based on that information. That's super helpful, because sometimes you have like, you know, all these data tools, but then you're like, the heck do I do with this information right now?
We run into this a lot still, right? We have a lot of people that they see it and they sign up, this is super cool, this looks great and so on. Then they sign up and they log in a few times and they get a little bit overwhelmed, because it is true that in many cases you don't need to know all of these things, maybe, or it depends individually what is interesting, what is not. So we are also trying to package things in ways so that, you know, it becomes a little bit more like, you don't have to look at all of this. Just look at this, and that will be enough for you to get maybe 80% of the output of it.
And even in business, like, you can't analyze everything, your emails, your Google Analytics, your Facebook ads, you can't analyze it all and then make tweaks to everything all at the same time. Like, you have to like, okay, I'm going to focus on this one thing and make changes. Now, you also have, obviously, you check like downloads and rankings, but I saw also that you have interest charts. Is that kind of like part of that persona card where you share what your people's interests are so that you can tailor to it?
Yeah, we take the interests. They are calculations based off those demographics.
Yeah.
So again, they're probabilistic. And it's more like, if you belong to this income bracket, this education level, and this many children in the household, you're likely to have this interest. Mm-hmm. And then we list them, and they have like a ranking from 1 to 10. The higher that number, the more likely it is that the audience has this interest.
Yeah.
It does not mean that 10 out of 10 has it. A 10 out of 10 just means it is very likely.
Yeah.
Because again, we don't know for sure, right? We're not the, it's not the browsing history off of people's phones or anything like this, because we're nowhere near that. So it's more like old school audience measurement style. You know, like in the old days, you would get flyers through the mailbox, and these would be tailored a little bit to maybe the neighborhood you lived in or similar. It's a little bit more similar to that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, you can't talk about podcast stats without looking at rankings. And I find that podcasters, again, don't know what they're ranking for or where, how to look for it, where to look for it. So I would love for you to kind of, you know, just kind of explain what rankings are and where you can find that data. Besides,
this is also again, besides Potter, yeah.
Yeah, you can pull it all in so you're not looking in 50 places.
Yeah, that's another thing we try to also just to collect. Like, we try to do a lot of stuff that is unique to us, but we also just try to collect everything into one so that someone uses Potter, they wouldn't necessarily need to log into many other places. But the rankings is always such an interesting subject because do they matter? Do they not matter? Why do they matter? What influences them? But fundamentally, of course, what they are is it is the order of which your show appears when someone opens the Spotify or Apple app and clicks your category and then sees it. So, of course, a higher ranking means that you get shown quicker, which in theory should translate to more new listeners that discover you through there. And this is, of course, impactful. But how impactful it is not so clear because it seems to not be so often that a user will pick up their podcast app and then go to a category and then browse through and then select. Typically, we hear about a show somewhere, we subscribe to it, we get a notification when the episode is ready and we start listening. But of course, it's still better than nothing.
Absolutely.
It is also interesting because both Spotify and Apple, they don't reveal how they calculate these rankings. What we do is just that we collect them once a day. So we store them in a database once a day so we can show you how you have fared in all the different rankings over time. But we know that they favor shows that somehow perform better. What they consider performing better is it listens, is it consumption rate, is it followers? That is not entirely clear. Mm. But a higher ranking indicates that you, according to Spotify or Apple, are performing. So of course, there's also really interesting for that that piece of information. It's, however, also slightly confusing that because shows fluctuate. Like one day you will be number 10, the next 54, the next 18, the next you're out of the rankings, and then you're back up again. So what we're finding is we collect them all every day, and then we show you like in a chart. But if it's a big show, you may be in hundreds of different charts because there's so many countries, so many categories.
Totally.
And they all go like this over time. And it's a little bit hard to, like, what do I learn from looking at this? So we're trying to find different ways of making, for example, now we try to simplify, we still show you the graph, but we'll also just show you your average ranking over the last 30 days. So it's one number. Instead of looking at these constants,
because
we don't really, And then I also think that, like, also noticed that many podcasters often, for example, in media kits, they will put that, you know, at some point I was at this ranking in this category in this country, and then put that into there. We find that to be a little bit of a misleading statistic, simply because we know it fluctuates so much daily, and we know it's hard to nail down why and so on these fluctuations happen. You know, so we try to always, you know, do things as an over time or relative to something or something so that you understand how am I faring rather than just at some point I was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it is exciting when it happens, not gonna lie.
100%. But
you know, to put it out, hey, people are listening, people are noticing, people are caring, so check it out.
but we would like to help people understand why that happens in some way, you know, instead of just that it happened. And because nearly everybody we speak to are like, yes, but I don't know why. And now I dropped out and I don't know why. We would like to answer those questions. We would like to figure out if we could see the logic in the trends, something that clearly explains why are these fluctuations so big. And then another thing is also that, for example, Apple in their app, they update this several times a day. So you will change slightly your ranking several times a day, we think. We just collect it once a day at the same time every day to get an as objective score as possible. Mm-hmm. But we know that there are other services like Podchaser or Refonic or Listen Notes that also collect it once a day, and they collect it at another time of day than we do. So if you log into them and us, we will not tell you the same. So we will say today you were 18 and they will say today you were 26.
Interesting.
Just because it, depending on what time of the day you do it and so on. So it's kind of a hard metric to turn into something particularly useful because it fluctuates so much and it's hard to explain why.
So does every podcast directory have a ranking?
Most of them do, but we only look at Spotify and Apple because they are kind of like the ones that are, it's like it's Apple makes up by far the most listens for nearly all US-based shows, yeah. and Spotify makes up by far the most listens for nearly all European-based shows. Oh. But a combination of those two nearly always makes up 40-60% of the total listens. So they are kind of like the standard that is being used. So we only check those.
Right. And I heard the more reviews that you have, and when you get new reviews, that it affects your rankings. Is that accurate?
Reviews is another one that is very interesting, because we keep trying to also tell people, get more reviews, ask for more reviews, because if nothing else, psychologically, if people are browsing through and they see, you know, two equal shows, but one has like more than your ranking, like more than your score, is the number of reviews we think we can see in the data. So if you have 500 or 200, or if you have 5,000, then the one with 5,000 is going to get more new listeners simply by people that are curious than the one with 200. I think, however, Apple at some point went out and said that reviews do not impact the rankings on their platform. But whether this is true or not, we don't know for sure.
Why don't they disclose all this stuff? Why don't they have like transparency of how their rankings, their algorithm, like, I don't know.
Intellectual property. I don't know. And if people know how, then they could try to predict the future. And I think it's just a way to stay.
Keep us guessing.
We have something. Yeah, exactly. We have something you don't have mentality. You know?
Yeah. It drives me nuts. And so, like, is there anything that we can do to boost our rankings from your experience?
It's hard to really nail down on what it is, but for what it seems like, it just seems it's a standard, like, good advice. We don't know for sure the reviews, but probably they impacted. Try to get more people to listen. Try to get them to listen to more of your show. Try to get more people to follow and subscribe. On those two platforms and so on. Better content, better marketing, and it will come with time. Yeah. I don't think there's any, it seems like some of these hacky, mainly they reach out on LinkedIn, these podcast promoters that say, oh, I can boost your show if you pay me some money. I don't know if it's fixed or not, but it did seem at some point that did influence rankings very positively for one day, and then it drops down low. So it does seem that downloads is a big metric here, but it also seems that they also penalize if it looks like it is fabricated download, or if it's, you know, unusual traffic or something. So, you know, general good advice, focus on creating a good show, focus on trying to get in front of the right people, and the rankings will follow.
Yeah, that makes sense. So obviously it's beneficial to be on every directory so you can be in front of as many people as you can. But obviously, like on our website, when we're marketing, yes, you want to direct traffic to your website for obvious reasons. But should we only really be also sharing, like, listen on Spotify, listen on iTunes, and not mention the other directories in our emails or marketing or on our website because of the data that you're able to get?
It's a difficult one as well. Again, I think what we would, if we help podcasters one-to-one, what we generally try to do is say, share what is most likely to be what the listener would use. Like, make it as effortless as possible for the listener to listen, but also to subscribe or follow. So there are different, smart link services. We also have one, but there's different like smart link services where you can share a link that, you know, if I open it from my Android phone, it will redirect to Spotify. If you open it from an app, for a Mac or an iOS, it will open on iTunes, or maybe you open something, you get the option of which player that you want to use.
Yeah.
One thing that for sure matters a lot is subscribers and followers on Spotify, on all the platforms, but especially Spotify and Apple. So redirecting people there and having a clear ask to please remember, it will help me a lot if you click follow or like, subscribe, whatever it is. Because first of all, they auto download new episodes unless they tell the app not to do this. But also they get notified about everything new that you do and so on. But at the same time, what we also think a lot about here is that podcast is often, it's content, it's marketing content in a way. And typically we're trying to achieve something at the end of this. And a website is very, very important. So we try to encourage people to, on the show, mention, by the way, if you are interested in this, I have more resources on my website, or I also have a newsletter. Click in the link in the show notes if you want to sign up.
Yeah.
So rather see it as, whenever you share the episodes, the show, share it where it is the most frictionless for the listener to get to listen to it through their favorite app, and then subscribe and follow. And then use, when you have them there, to promote, come also sign off on my newsletter if you like what you have to say, or my Patreon, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Through there.
That's great
advice. Rather than, I think if you lead them to the website, often maybe we'll listen to that one, but they will not be subscribing or something. And it, rather get them in the loop.
Then
have them there.
Yeah. That's a great point. I appreciate that. The other thing I wanted to ask you is about like your competition. I saw that you had competitive analysis coming soon, so I was quite intrigued. What can we learn from our competitors?
So we're this is coming soon. We're trialing it out a little bit. We're trying to do many things with various AI tools on our data, and we're trying to. Like I talked a little bit about this evergreen in the beginning, something we're focusing a lot on. Really good way of identifying evergreen content is also to look at similar shows to you. What do they tend to do? What tends to perform and so on? So one thing you can learn from competitors in terms of other shows is I think often we see as, you know, oh, they're performing well, I am unhappy. Or I'm jealous or whatever. Instead of saying, oh, they're performing well, what can I learn? Should be more the approach. And so we're trying to do things that can help you understand what do other shows do. This competitive analysis is a very basic one where we try to find a bunch of shows that are similar to yours. And we then break down where they are better than you, where you are better than them, where you can learn from them. It's like a few different things.
Yeah.
To try and make it like, again, like instead of having to spend a lot of time reading or listening and so on, we try to break down in more like bullet point form. Here is what we think.
I love it.
You can learn from them. Here is what we think you do better than them. It's not perfect, because one thing that's very important with what we do is that we're a prefix based solution, meaning that we can only generate data on the shows that we actively work with. So a lot of the data that we generate, we only generate the shows that we work with. And the shows that we work with, like if for example, your data with us is yours. So we cannot share your data with anybody else. So anything we generate on your show, only you have access to. So we cannot use your data to give someone else insights on your show. So the only information we can use to do these kind of competitive analysis on similar shows to yours is whatever is publicly available. So show notes, transcripts, episodes, rankings, reviews, et cetera.
Okay. That makes sense. And that's wise. That's good. Privacy is important.
It's very, very important.
Absolutely.
This is something that's very, very important for us. Like we're not like a aggregator that people can come and buy data on shows through. No, we are like a SaaS solution for individual shows or networks where we can help them generate data on their shows.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Data is so useful because it just helps you move the needle and figure out what's working and what's not working so that you can grow. One question that I should have asked earlier actually is, so the data that you're getting, is that useful for all podcasters? Do you need to have like podcasted for a year in order to like get that data? Should you be doing it from the beginning? Does it matter?
It does matter, unfortunately, a little bit. And it's like there's no general rule here, but the more episodes, the more downloads, the more reviews, the more rankings, the more of this, the more we can do.
Yeah.
Because we rely on stuff we can find and then analysis of this. If you can't find any reviews, there's no personality analysis, because it's based off of those reviews, for example. The same with the rankings. If you don't appear in any rankings, we cannot show anything on that. Yeah. And we're doing a lot of more and more analysis off of these things. So of course, the less input, the less sophisticated this analysis.
Yeah.
Whether to do it when you start or not, we would always say, yes, do it when you start. Because the more historical data, we can only tell you what happens from the moment you sign up with us. We cannot tell you what happened prior to this. So everything we show as a evolution over time, or what happened to episodes you released before us, well, we don't know until this time. So whenever we do stuff like this evergreen score or how stuff are, episodes are faring against each other, well, everything that is from before this, we cannot include in those things.
Yeah.
So the sooner someone signs up, the more things we can do.
That makes total sense.
It's a general rule. And yeah, we always say, people are creating like their second or third show or something, sign it up from day one. Go on us, get a free plan, and just let it run. Because the more of this we collect now, the cooler things we can do in the future.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It's kind of like putting your Facebook ad pixel on your website before you even think about doing Facebook ads. So at least you can generate that data.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember where I heard this, but that consumption data where you learn, you know, do people listen to the whole thing? Do they drop off halfway through? Do you need a certain amount of downloads to be able to get that data? I heard you needed like 1,000 downloads per episode or something before you can actually get that data. Is that accurate?
There is some threshold, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
Spotify and Apple, they those are the two platforms that will show you this information, and they are essentially also where we collect it from.
Yeah.
They have some threshold before they start showing it. I don't remember what it is.
I must admit, no worries.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
But I'm not sure it's 1,000. I think it's less, but it is something per episode.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
I have to go back to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Who knows what goes on behind the doors of Spotify and Apple.
it's the same also with our demographics data, where we can tell you about what brackets the audience most likely belong to. This, we in theory start showing things on the overall screen as soon as we have one confirmed hit. But we need about 500 hits before there's enough volume for it, for statistical anomalies to kind of be weeded out for an overall image of the show.
Yeah.
And in order for us to have about 500 hits, we need about 2,500 downloads over any period of time. So it's not within a month or for a certain episode, but from 0 to 2,500, it may still, like, that may be big fluctuations in the numbers as new downloads come in, whereas after 2,500, it starts settling.
That makes total sense. Yeah, I mean, you need the numbers in order to collect data. You can't collect data from five things.
So. Yeah, and you can very easily draw wrongful conclusions. Yeah, you can very easily draw wrongful conclusions, right? If you start if you start changing everything based on that initial data, well, it may change very quickly.
Yeah. What is the most surprising thing that you've discovered from data for podcasts over the years?
I don't know if surprising, but no, this is not surprising. It's actually the exact opposite of surprising, but that was still surprising. Like whenever we did some kind of like larger analysis, meta-analysis on shows, there tends to be very clear logic between what kind of demographics listens to what kind of shows.
Oh.
And the trends are quite clear to see, which is something that for us is quite interesting because, you know, what we do is kind of, you know, we give you reports on what your audience is like or what happened based on historical something, but we don't don't tell you how to reach a certain audience. But in theory, we're learning that it's quite possible that we can also predict what kind of content certain demographics would likely want to listen to, which is interesting because so doing it in reverse.
Yeah.
So for example, if someone says, actually, I don't want to know what my demographic is right now, or I would like to talk to this demographic. How should I tailor my content a little bit in that direction? And this is some of the stuff that we think we will be able to help with in the future. Saying that, okay, you know, because we often have this, you know, I like to talk about this, or I talk about this, or I think my existing audience like this, so I will talk about this.
Yeah.
Whereas there's more and more of a trend towards, I would like to talk to these people. How do I make it interesting for them? And we think we can help with this. Like, so take that out of being a, I think maybe because something, to a very data-driven kind of roadmap for content creation.
Yeah, I love that. It's like reverse engineering. I almost think like the AI on how we do the prompts and how we're getting information is making our brains think slightly differently of like how to look at things. It's very interesting.
It's super interesting. We also use some of the, many of these generative tools, like, well, ChatGPT and some of the others, also just in our daily work, or if you get stuck on something, and it's true, you start thinking in those patterns.
I know.
Instead.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. I love it though. It's kind of neat. So, I so appreciate you diving into, you know, the insights and how it can drive success and what we need to look for. And even at the very least, wrapping your head around all the moving pieces, but how can people work with Potter so that they can get better at their podcast and get those data points?
Well, sign up, try us out. Yes. We have a free, like, anybody who signs up for the first month, they get access to all of the pro features of the platform for free to test everything out. If they after that month want to continue, it's $25 a month
to get
access to all these things. If they don't want to use all the features, they will actually just revert to a free plan, which is limited. But the main limitation is that we cap the amount of historical data you can see. So it's still, you can still log in often and see how things are going. You just cannot do so many comparables over like a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So this is the first thing I would absolutely recommend people do. We're trying to set up this new also kind of onboarding sequence of emails where we, instead of just focusing on here's how you do this, here's how you do that, we will try and help you understand specifics about your specific show based on the data. To try and help provide a little bit of the value and try to give some very early pointers as to here's what we think you should try in the next 30 days that may help drive a little bit extra growth. And then measure at the end of those 30 days, here is the growth you have seen or have not seen. As a way of holding people's hand a little bit, because we realize 30 days may sound like a lot, but if it's a brand new tool with a lot of information and you release maybe an episode once a month or once every 2 weeks, and you also need to still produce a show, you also still need to do all the other work you have. We want to try and make it as easy as possible to get a little bit of value out in that trial period, so you can sense whether it's, you know, worth it or not.
Yeah, that's great. It's so good to get that expert insight of how to use that. Again, even if you're taking one piece of data and shifting things and you improve it by 1% and it like compounds itself over the year, it can impact your podcast and your business tremendously.
Exactly this year. This is some of the, what we think many podcasters, they struggle a little bit with. They see, okay, but I'll do this thing and it'll have this little impact and it'll take me this much time to do. Yes, but it'll have little impact repeatedly.
Yeah.
And then if you couple that with also a few other things, you implement one new thing every month or whatever it may be, it really can have a massive impact down the line. But also I think many people struggle with, I'm not entirely sure this is a good idea. So I will spend a lot of time doing something that may or may not help. You know, we're trying to take the guesswork out of it a little bit by saying, based on data, here's what tends to work, so that it becomes a little bit more or less risky or less scary.
Absolutely. Having to
make, so do some of these things because there is at least something backing it up.
Yeah. And you're not second guessing yourself. Yeah. Absolutely. And really, like, that one little thing can give you the X factor over your competitor. So yeah, absolutely. I so appreciate your information and your insights, Christian. And obviously people need to go to potterapp.com. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lizzie. It was an absolute pleasure.
All right. See you guys next week. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.